Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
All right, in this Reasonable Doubt, we get into the all-star pitcher for the Dodgers and his sexual assault situation and how that turned out. So that's breaking news. We'll get into some allegations with gubernatorial challenger Larry Elder. Mark's fired up. He's cussing a blue streak, and then I go insane at the end of the podcast. So there's a lot to listen to. First, let's talk about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure, you do one or the other, and you work hard. And also, there's your automotive policy. Well, how about you get your bundle going? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So go to geico.com. Get a quote and see just how much you could save and just how easy it is to save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. We're going to mandate. Get it on and welcome the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus in his home office. Mark, I talked to Gary on the ride in. Lots of subjects you're eager to get into. So why don't we just start?
Yeah, but first, you know, what I'm really looking forward to, because most of the people when this drops on Saturday will be listening to this during one of my personal favorite hours in the universe. You know what that will be tomorrow?
That'll be the Corolla Drinks Barbecue.
And what will you, Drew, and I be doing tomorrow at around, I don't know, 1:45, 2 o'clock?
I think we'll be sitting in the studio sampling our rye.
This building. I don't know if we want people near the brand new table, but we'll be somewhere in this
So I have a question. Is this BYOB, bring your own bourbon? Is this BYO818? Is it BYOT? What's the protocol? You know, my wife's out of the country, so I need some guidance on etiquette.
We're not heathens. We're not going to invite people to a whiskey tasting and not have whiskey. We got it covered.
Yeah, we'll have our new
818.
Well, no. I mean, it's 818, but it's changed to Magnolia.
Oh, that's right.
Now,
yes.
Because of the Kardashians, who don't already have enough money.
Did you get a cease and desist?
I don't think we got a cease and desist.
To my knowledge, we kind of looked at the landscape and decided it wasn't worth it, and we're just going to change moving forward.
Right.
Such a great Armo Fest. To just me getting the... I assume you didn't, because I didn't get anything.
I suggested we change the name to the Guardians.
And have a roller derby. A roller derby guy swinging a bat, right?
Yes. All right. So what stories are out there in the legal world for you?
I don't know. Gary, the one that just has tickled Gary and I this week has been, and maybe tickle's not the right
term. It's definitely not the right term. Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer.
It's an interesting one. I was telling some of the guys about this around here yesterday. You know, they had this hearing where the accuser is asking for a permanent restraining order. She fears for her safety from Trevor Bauer. They had this hearing. It was 3 days long. She testified for over 9 hours. He took the fifth, so he did not testify. And at the end of it, the judge said, not only are you not getting a permanent restraining order, but the temporary one that you've had up until now is going away as well.
So he's the Dodger ace. He was accused of battery, I guess, or assault and battery. There were some pictures of her looking beat up. It looked like she had a couple of black eyes. That didn't seem good. But then apparently she was into the rough trade and also had maybe slept with a couple other MLBers as well, which probably wasn't helping. But I don't know how you get around that picture.
Do you credit Loveline for your ability to characterize it as into the rough trade?
Well, there is a thing. There's a real thing going on that if anyone brings it up, in any kind of context, you will be deplatformed and shot down and destroyed by the left and the media. But here goes anyway. There is a...
Wait, when has that ever stopped you?
Well, this is a real thing, which is people that have been the victims of molestation or incest or rape or have had these kinds of traumas happen to them at a young age, when they get older and they have consensual encounters, at some point they're processed as trauma again or non-consensual or something. So meaning let's remove the sexuality from it. Let's just forget about the sex. Let's just say what I learned.
Forget about the sex. You're talking about somebody who's had the trauma.
Yeah, let's forget about molestation or rape or incest or any of this early trauma. I'll put it in a different context. Okay. But it's something that I learned a lot from doing Loveline and talking to people over and over and over again, which is, let's just say I was physically assaulted and beaten by my stepdad as a young person. Okay. And at 8, 9 years old, he would come and whip me and physically beat me and whatever. I was traumatized. Then later on, you get into a situation where you're in high school and you're in the locker room and you're horsing around. You know what I mean? Some guy gets you in a headlock and the other guy tries to give you a wedgie. And at the time, everyone engaged thinks it's rough play, horseplay, guys, you know, locker room, you know, whatever. It's
the towel
snapping, whatever. At some point, as the victim, I go home and I ruminate on it and I process it, and I process it through the lens of somebody who was victimized as a young person. And the next thing you know, I start feeling like I was victimized in that locker room. Now, the other people that were engaged in this behavior thought we were roughhousing or horseplay or whatever it is. I then start realizing I think I was assaulted in that locker room. And then I go to the principal and I say, I want to file charges because I was physically assaulted by these guys on the football team. And then the principal says, what went on in that locker room? And they go, well, he got me in a headlock. And the other guy was trying to give me a wedgie while I was in a headlock. And he goes, oh, my God. Well, that sounds bad. And the next thing you know, we're being deposed or we're in front of a court, in front of a judge. And what happened? One guy got me in the headlock. Really? Could you get out? No, he was holding my neck tight. And what'd the other guy do? We start pulling, give me a wedgie. We're like, you were assaulted. And now we're into this whole new realm. And what I'm saying is there's enough people out there, many, many, unfortunately, people who were assaulted or molested or sexually, whatever. At some point, they become adults. They get into this environment. They oftentimes want to recreate it and go, how about, you know, a little rough trade? How about a slap on the ass? How about you choke me a little bit when we're engaging in sex or whatever it is? Later on, they go home and process it and they go, I was assaulted. And in on paper, they were assaulted. The person that is being accused of the assault, not always, but oftentimes, didn't know it was happening when it was happening, just like the guys in the locker room didn't know it was happening when it was happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
The person didn't know in real time that it was an assault.
Yeah. Oftentimes, the person that is the victim in the assault and oftentimes the person that's being accused of assault didn't label it as assault when it was happening. But then they go home, they process. And by the way, you talk to a counselor, you talk to a friend, and they go, well, what happened? And they go, well, I was in the locker room. The guy had me in a headlock. Well, my God, you were assaulted. You should do something about this. Then you get a lawyer. Then it comes into court.
Probably at that point, the counselor has got a mandatory reporting obligation. So that involves the authorities, which is interesting because part of what Gary and I were talking about with Dan earlier this week was that when this in the Bauer case, and I'm just going to go back to that for a second. In the Bauer case, it appears that there was a consent to what you've characterized as rough trade. Then Dan, who's my associate in New York, was saying, well, you can't consent if you are knocked unconscious. And apparently there was some indication or suggestion that the knocking unconscious was something that was part of the trade itself. So then the issue of consent becomes incredibly murky.
Well, also, where do you draw the line? Again, just going back to the locker room and removing the sexuality part of it, component of it, which is, yeah, I agreed it'd be fun to kind of wrestle around in the locker room, but these guys didn't stop. You know, where was the line? You know, like, I was okay with this roughhousing in the locker room, but at some point it escalated.
They apparently had a back and forth via text on this subject, and the one text that got the most highlight during the proceedings was in the back and forth. She said, quote, "Give me all the pain."
Right. So I would assume that this is a person with some trauma in their past. And when you then bring that into your adult relationships, it is processed differently. Now, again, people can't even go there because that's essentially like saying you're taking someone who's a victim two times now and essentially turning him into a victim, you know, a third time.
Right. The re-victimization whole theory. But the interesting thing here, I keep going back to Bauer only because it's kind of a good touchstone for the conversation. There are texts also that seem to indicate and were not presented, at least initially, in the application for the restraining order, that seem to suggest that there was a monetary motive. Gary may remember him.
Remember him. And I'd just like to put a little bit of a finer point on it here for Adam, who may not have heard our Thursday episode with Dan. These are texts that were uncovered that are not between Bauer and the alleged and the victim. It's between the victim and her AA sponsor, where she is texting about how she is going to, you know, secure the bag and how she's going to make him pay. And her sponsor is saying back to her things like, make sure you don't post anything on social media. You're supposed to be mourning or you're supposed to be distraught. And there's several back and forth like that where she's indicating that she is going to use this as a financial motive.
Right.
That could be, by the way, that could be the title of this episode, Secure the Bag.
So the judge heard enough and he's basically dismissed the whole thing.
Yeah,
he not only refused to grant the, and who was the judge, Gary? She not only refused to grant the permanent restraining order, because usually when you go in for the temporary, you can file kind of a very perfunctory document. You'll get a judge to sign it because they would rather, and you know, the law says you'd rather err on the side of being overreactive, but then you get entitled to a hearing. This was the hearing to try to convert that temporary into a permanent or a fixed term of years. Not only did they decline to do that, the judge, she also dissolved the temporary. And that's quite a statement, given the fact that it's, who was it, Gary?
Judge Diana Gould Saltman.
Well, I would have... That makes sense because I've known of her and her husband for years, and she's one of the best judges on the bench in the L.A. Superior Court.
How do you explain the photograph of the victim looking beat up?
I don't think you do. I don't think his team was attempting to explain that. I think his team was saying that there was an explicit back and forth that we can all now present and show, where she's basically saying the line is erased.
Do those photographs, do they ever cook them? Do they ever enhance them? Do they ever sweeten them up?
in this case, there was some suggestion of that, wasn't there, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. His team suggested that they filtered them and enhanced them to make them look worse than they were. But one of the first pieces of testimony was the nurse, I believe, maybe nurse practitioner, who first encountered her when she went to the hospital, who said that those images are akin to her recollection of seeing her in person.
Well, then does the law, I don't know, you tell me, Mark, is the law, which is, well, he gave me two black eyes, but I asked for it. Is that still okay? Because it seems to me.
You know, it's interesting because it's a very, to some degree, murky. But when you talk about assault or battery and the definition, the legal definition of it, it's without consent. So if I put my arm around you tomorrow while we're imbibing, I would assume that you would not have a problem with that. You might say, move away. You lingered too long, but that would not be an assault. If Gina was there and I put my arm around Gina and I got too frisky, that potentially could be, you know, that's not a permitted touching, so to speak. You know, there's a case maybe now 20 years ago, I forget the name, I think it starts with an L, in California, where a juvenile was having sex with a woman who I believe was also another juvenile. And they were literally in the act having sex. And she said, I'm tired. You've been going on too long or something like that. Stop, basically. And he said, just give me a minute. I'm about to finish. That, I believe, the Superior Court judge found and a court of appeals sanctioned was a non-consensual sexual act. As soon as she said, I'm tired, stop, and he didn't do it immediately, that became unconsensual. So there's always, it's always drawing a line, and that's never clear.
So is Bauer just going to rejoin the Dodgers and take the mound?
It's unclear. His administrative leave was extended to the end of the month, August 29th, I believe. They basically had him on a 7-day administrative paid leave. He's the highest paid player in MLB at $40 million a year since this started. And they keep extending it. And the day that the judge declined the permanent restraining order, MLB extended him another 7 days.
All right. Well, we'll give you any updates from that story, although kind of seems like that is that story. And there's no criminal charges now, right?
Pasadena police has got this because apparently Mr. Bauer's got a residence in Pasadena, and that's apparently where the alleged acts took place. So it'll be interesting to see. But I will tell you, Sean Holly Chapman, I think that's still her name. I haven't talked to Sean in years, but she handled the case, did the cross-examination, was a heck of a lawyer. And I would imagine if Sean was here and we asked her, she would probably say that not only, to quote Ice Cube, was that a good day when Judge Gould Saltzman dissolved it, but it probably diminished the verve of the investigators to bring this case. Because here you've got, remember, the civil standard for the restraining order is a much lesser standard of proof. And if you're saying, not only do I not think this guy is a future cause or proof of, or have any kind of harm, but to some degree, there's a credibility contest. And by the way, the credibility contest is, talk about losing miserably. The person who brought the action for the restraining order testified for, I think Gary said, 9 hours, and Bauer invoked the fifth. So talk about a wipeout. I mean, you testified, you weren't believed, you apparently did not submit most of the text messages, you led the court down the primrose path in one direction, and then you lost. I mean, investigators will, no matter maybe whether or not they should, are going to internalize that. You lose a lot of wind at their back.
All right. What else we got, Gary.
We have a story coming out about Larry Elder that I believe involves someone that Mark may have a relationship with, at least in the past. So I'd like to get his thoughts on that. But why don't you take care of a little business first?
Geico, do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. Go to geico.com today and get your bundle on. Yes, Larry Elder.
Yeah, there's been some, you know, there's been some headlines about him. You know, obviously he comes into the race and becomes prominent. There's going to be some stories, and one of the ones that came out in the last few days.
He's a conservative talk show host out of Los Angeles. He's getting in the gubernatorial race. I know Larry fairly well. I was going to say
you know Larry well, don't you?
Yeah, pretty well. I don't think he has kids, or he's married, or he's not.
Well, I will say this
guy. Yes,
what I know. I need to be in full disclosure. If you Google Larry, you will see that Larry is reported to be married to Alexandra Dattig, D-A-T-I-G, who I know well, who has worked for me, and I've known for years.
Mark, let me just real fast. Not married. They were formerly engaged.
No, that's what, if you Google, they say they were married. They were never married.
Right.
I can set the record straight. They were never married, and now she has come forward with some rather explosive allegations. You know, I should probably bring her on and have Adam do a kind of a Q&A. You know, Adam is my, you know, I used to think I was the guy who specializes in cross-examination, but after watching, I'm going to give you a little shout out here, Adam, and I did this on Twitter the other day. Somebody posted I don't know, what was it, Gary? Maybe 2 minutes of Adam with Gavin Newsom. And I will tell you, I obviously had missed this in the depth or whatever, because when I re-listened to it, just within the last 10 days, I noticed there was an Armo reference. I don't know. There was an Armo reference. I don't know how I missed that. But I am now, when I do, I often give annually, I give talks to the National Trial Lawyers Association down in Miami. We have an annual conference, and I will play certain videos as a kind of instructors. I've used, and Tina, who's in my office, has used with great effect, the Jerry Lewis at the interview with, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter, where Jerry Lewis was brilliant. And I've shown that to clients a number of times for them to understand how to answer questions. I'm now going to use the Adam Carolla, Gavin Newsom cross-examination as the single, well, it may be one of the single best crosses I've ever seen. Gary, do you have it? Because I think you should replay it. I mean, Adam, I don't want to suck up, but it really was stunning to me how I missed the Armo. But the cross was just relentless. It was just, Adam was like, you were just, it was like you beating a baby seal. I mean, it was unbelievable.
You.
I mean, unbelievable. Gary, you must play it at this point.
Well, if people want to hear, by the way, you know, this is 2 minutes and 10 seconds. There's 47 minutes of this if people want to go take a deep dive.
I watched the 2 minutes, and I will tell you what happened, Adam, and it's something
that,
I often had.
Was a snippet, but I mean, that shit went on for over 45 minutes.
Yeah, but the problem is you have to, at a certain point when you're cross-examining somebody and you've got him on the ropes, and you had this guy on the ropes, you had Newsom on the ropes, like, I mean, you know, it's like, I can think of five instances in my career I've had a witness on the website.
We have it if you guys want to hear it.
Let's see it.
half of African Americans in the state of California, roughly half of Latino families, have no access to a checking account or an ATM. Things we take for granted. They don't have a checking
account. What's wrong with them?
And what, but what, well, because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't. And where do they
why
end
do
up,
Armenians have them?
But where they end up is why, check cashing places.
But I
want to
know why those groups, why
advantage.
Those two groups don't have access.
Well, a lot of it just happens to be that we can
so
talk
they're flawed?
About.
This.
No, they're hardly flawed, but they're struggling.
Genetically
folks are making
flawed.
Their word hardly, not absolutely.
But okay,
not.
So but
absolutely
do Asians
not.
Have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have. A lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it.
But why did you bring up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
But why so many of them?
It just happens to be the
just,
magnitude.
That's the way God planned it.
Not at all.
Well, it what just, happened to them?
There are a lot of issues, and with it, that the communities are struggling. A lot
why
of new
are they
immigrants.
Struggling?
A lot of different reasons. Lack
Hispanics
of opportunity.
Have been here. Blacks have been here longer than we've been here.
Well, we can surmise.
What
all
about
that.
Asians? They were put in internment camps.
Yeah, we in fact it all initiated at San Francisco. And
all right.
The Chinese Exclusion Act came
so
out.
So they
of progressive
are they the
San check Francisco.
Are they the check cashing
a lot of
places?
A lot of Asians certainly do.
Oh, so why don't you conclude
because
them?
The only reason why is the magnitude.
There's
the
so
problem,
many more.
The magnitude and percentage.
But there's
terms
no way to figure out how that happened.
Of Africa. We could talk about. You know what I'm dealing with? I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you?
Real,
have, no.
No, here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because the person from the Times wouldn't write good things about
oh,
you if
God,
you did that.
No, that's not the case because I
want
to deal
want
with
to get
reality.
Into that.
No.
You want to deal with reality.
I want to deal with reality,
reality
of people
is.
That are struggling, people are suffering. I want to deal with the problems in
why
a pragmatic
why are they
way.
Struggling
I don't
and
want
suffering?
An idea. We can hold hands and surmise about all these underlying
why
reasons.
They, I don't want to do that. I want to know why they're struggling. Why are they struggling?
A lot of folks are struggling because they can't find jobs.
Why blacks and
because they're working.
Why blacks and Hispanics?
Across the board, all socioeconomic.
Okay, so everybody. Okay,
everybody's struggling.
So Asians are suffering just as much as blacks.
The face of welfare is not an African-American family.
Oh, so it's Asian,
a,
Jewish, it's all of them.
Caucasian, it's
okay,
a lot
so
of folks
we're all
in
struggling.
Society. A lot of folks are struggling.
Okay.
Okay, I am going to use that. I don't know how I missed it. I don't know how I missed the Armo reference. I'm a little pissed at you that you didn't circle back to the Armo
I
reference.
I should have.
Yeah, but what, I mean, that's literally what the, that.
But Mark, to Adam's point, that video I just noticed is 2 minutes and 12 seconds. That's because that's the limit on Twitter for a video. You can't go over 2 minutes and 12 seconds. There's
okay,
47
was,
minutes of that.
That was, I mean, Adam, I don't want to suck up. I don't want to blow smoke, but that was one of the best and most brutal crosses I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. I don't have any experience with it, but I was just my thing was what bothers me is when somebody says something insane or they lie and then they go, all right, let's disagree to disagree and let's agree to disagree. And then they just turn the page and they move on. My plan is here's a shovel. Start digging and.
And
dig
it's
your
the
grave.
First law. It's the first law of holes. Stop
right.
digging.
Right.
And by the way, you weren't rude. You didn't cut him off, at least in that 2 minutes. You didn't over-talk him. You just asked a staccato-like questions, which, by the way, is a perfect cross-examination. And he was all over the place, and like he was a perfect fool.
Yes, he's a perfect fool. Well, thank you. That is high praise coming from you. And if you play that at the next convention in Miami, I will be profoundly flattered.
I'm going to tell, you know, I'm going to suggest to the national trial lawyers that when I give the, you know, trial technique speech and I use that, and I'll probably have Tenney use it and when we do the father-daughter thing. And then I'm going to suggest that maybe Adam be the keynote speaker for the luncheon. And you can give them all kinds of guidance. But who knows at that point? Because if Elder's the governor of the state of California, I think, I don't know, he could appoint you as the new chief justice if Tani retires.
Well, I'd like to be traffic czar. That's what I'm shooting for.
Oh, wait, so maybe a cabinet level?
Well, we'd have to create that appointment because we do not have a traffic czar in California. Other states do, other cities do, places in Canada do, but we, with the worst traffic in the world, at least in Los Angeles, do not have a traffic czar. So I will
well,
be
we
lying
have quite
for that.
A, we've got quite a issues brewing here in California on the bullet train. I don't know if Gary is up to speed.
Well, on this. So just to put Larry Elder story to bed, his ex says he pulled a gun on her.
His ex says that he was high on marijuana, which I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's what she says. And they were arguing, and at a certain point in the middle of the argument, he got quiet, and then he stood up and walked over to a dresser and picked up a gun, checked that it was loaded, she says, to make sure that she knew it was loaded, and then put it back.
Mm-hmm. Now, is she...
This is interesting, mm-hmm. because, Adam, you have a... you've got fondness... Is that too a mischaracterization for Larry?
I love Larry, and I hate Gavin.
You're fun. Mm-hmm. Right. I hate Gavin. I don't know Larry. I know Alexandra. She's always been upfront and truthful in all my kind of experiences with her. But maybe we have before September 14th a knockdown dragout. But at the same time, I hesitate to delve into this because to some degree, and Gary knows this because I've told him, I think that there's a lot else going on here in the effort to kind of save Newsom from this recall on the 14th. I'm I'm going to say it again, and we'll get 90 comments on our YouTube channel, but I am a lifelong Democrat. I've always been a Democrat, but I completely resent the approach that has been taken by Newsom in this recall election. He owns this. He owns California. And for him to say that this is somehow a Republican or Trumpian plot, fuck you. Fuck you. It isn't. I'm here. I was early money on anti-Trump. I'm the guy who represented Colin Kaepernick. I know what Trump was capable of. But guess what? I'm not going to just sell my soul because you're a Democrat, Gavin, you fucking dilettante, and think that you can sell this as some kind of a Republican plot. You're just an incompetent fucking demagogue, period.
I agree. He's not good at his job. I was saying to somebody on my show the other day, I said, look, we can all agree we loved Kennedy, and we can all agree we loved Abe Lincoln. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. Fine. They did their job. They were good. It's not all about party politics here. The guy's not doing a good job. That's it. If he was doing a good job, who would care?
You know, by the way, not only is he not doing a good job, if he was just incompetent, if he was just plainly the lamest guy, like you made a hire, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know who got it, the Corolla Studios, but I could give you some hires I've made at G&G. But there's hires you've made, and you've said, what the fuck was I thinking? This guy is not just incompetent. This guy, the governor, has made, there is no way to get around the timeline of him closing down businesses, purportedly based on COVID, then saying these are essential businesses. Then his lobbyist buddy gets in his ear and he changes essential businesses to include somebody that has hired his lobbyist buddy, and most famously, my client, Pineapple Hill, the delightful owner, Angela Marsden, who was, her place was shut down outdoors as she's 25 yards away or 25 feet away in the parking lot from somebody who had given money to Newsom. So I don't care about, if you're lame, that's fine. We deserve what we get. If you are venal and you are corrupt, then fuck you. You deserve to be recalled. And guess what? You know, if you're a Democrat like me and you have your issues with Elder, fine, I get it. you've got an alternative. You've got this Kevin character that we had on here. Give him a year. If you don't like him, screw it.
Yeah.
But why are we told we got to accept this guy as some kind of existential ideological fight?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's they do it. It's funny because there's a Trump version of it, which is there are plenty of Republicans who are never Trumpers, and they're and it's, you know, we're told all the time, you know, Trump's a Republican, but you can't go for Trump. There's something wrong with him. You know what I mean? Well, use the same logic and just apply it to one of your own. Gavin Newsom, just because you're Democrat doesn't mean, you know, there's a large group of Republicans, as I've formerly stated, just never Trumpers. Well, there should be a large group of Democrats that are never Newsoms. That's
you know what? I'm going to as soon as we get off of here, I'm going to call up the IP lawyer and I'm going to patent that, or I'm going to trademark it. I'm a never Newsom.
Right.
I mean, this guy, it is appalling. It's absolutely appalling to me what this guy has done to California.
Agreed. All right.
There's an Arrested Development joke in that Never Newsome thing for those who are fans of that show. I personally really like when Mark gets angry and starts swearing.
I do too.
It's fun.
And now, you know, guess what? Next thing you know, then some intrepid LA Times reporter will, you know, write an article. Mark Geragos was cussing with Adam Carolla, blah, 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 blah. Don't you? I mean, it's just the world has degenerated into the sloppiest.
Well, I mean, look, you know, they're already doing hit pieces on Larry Elder, the LA Times.
Oh, my God. The LA Times has decided. Remember when Drew was bandied about as a candidate? They decided, OK, we're going to take Drew out. Then Larry Elder comes on and the LA Times is OK. They probably got a phalanx of reporters designed to take him out. And God forbid that you point out the fact that they are the most you know, the guy who bought the LA Times, Gary?
I know Chandler used to own it, and then they, I guess, sold it.
That was years ago.
Yeah.
It's now a guy.
His name is Patrick Soon-Shiong.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We may break a story next week, Adam, about some of the hijinks involving the LA Times and the current owner. Who is, what's his name, Gary?
Patrick Soon-Shiong, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. We may break a story because I've been engaged for the last 18 hours with the LA Times, and I've caught them doing some really, really journalistically fucked up things. And we may need to do a breaking news report on it. Because I've been pissed off ever since they tried to take out Drew on this gubernatorial race.
Well, as I've said many times, look, you are the paper of record for, you know, a large, large city in the U.S. Be an umpire, call balls and strikes. Why announce that you have a team that you're rooting for before the game starts and then get behind the plate and yell play ball? It's not good. What good is it for you? You're obviously rooting for Gavin Newsom, but why are you rooting for anybody? You are essentially a stenographer. You're not an advocate. You're not a lawyer. You're there collecting information.
No, because they aren't. They've been corrupt. They've been corrupted. The LA Times has been totally corrupted. They've been bought out. They've been bought out by this gentleman, for lack of a better word, who has got people that are on his payroll killing stories. And, you know, it's about time that maybe we expose it, Adam. I mean, I have been months ago. I forget when it was. Because I, as you know, I wanted Drew to run for governor. I thought Drew would have been
right,
the perfect guy. I mean, Drew could have solved homelessness. He could have solved all of the COVID stuff. And they just decided they were going to take him out. And there is a lot more nefarious things going on over at the LA Times. And I can hardly wait to reveal some of it. And I'm going to.
Well, I cannot wait for that revelation. All right, let me hit a quick piece of business here. Trust and Will, many of you listening are just starting out, buying homes, having babies, building wealth. Add secure your family future to your list of things to do. TrustandWill.com. For as little as $39, you can set up an estate plan, nominate guardians for your kids, determine who gets your stuff, and plan for the future and medical care as well, all from the comfort of your own home. A traditional estate attorney can cost thousands, and using a one-size-fits-all template is not specialized enough. Trust and Will documents are designed by estate planning experts and customized for your state. Live customer support 7 days a week. And why would you spend a bunch of dough going for the billable hour when you can get it done with Trust and Will, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/doubt and get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized legal documents. Don't wait. Go right now. This is really important. Get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/doubt. That's trustandwill.com/doubt.
Hey, Adam, yeah. Are you going to be upset if I hard out now and we do a little 15-minute spicy behind the scenes tomorrow with you, me, and Drew?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
We're going to be lit up.
Gary, can we do that? Can we do a topper with Adam, me, and Drew?
Apparently.
Well, oh, my God. Listen to Gary. He's just... He's
I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do after you leave because we still got another live read to go here. So
it's all right. I can,
we'll
I
figure
can
it out. But, yeah, Mark, you can fly, and maybe you and I and... Adam and Drew will sneak into the studio while everyone else is sipping whiskey.
Well, I've got, by the way, right over here on the couch, I've got my very nice Oxford shirt and a tie and a coat, and I'm going to go make a court appearance. And Adam, I love you. I'll
love
see
you, Mark.
All right.
I'll
see you then. Bye, Mark.
Talk soon. Bye, all right, guys. Gary, now,
so the other big stories this mm-hmm. week that are, you know, specifically today, you know, obviously the handling of the Afghanistan pullout, which is a, you know, very complex topic. And then also, I don't know if you saw that the new host of Jeopardy lasted exactly one taping before being canceled.
Is he canceled?
Yep. He was fired this morning.
He was doing a podcast where it was like talking about selfies or nude selfies. Or
what I saw was there's been a few things. And look, this is sort of what the topic I wanted to cover with you is, you know, in the world of everyone has a podcast and everyone has X number of hundreds of hours of audio of them, is anyone going to be able to do anything anymore? One of the things I saw was he was doing a podcast where he was talking about Wheel of Fortune, which he was apparently also a producer on, and he was referring to one of the female staff members as the booth hoe and the booth slut. Those were the terms I saw. I know there's more, but those were the ones that I know about.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what booth slut or booth hoe meant.
I didn't really understand it either.
Story, but look, well, here's the thing. Nobody shall survive under the current measuring stick that we're using for morality. Now, if we recalibrated it, as I've been suggesting for a long time, then you could survive. So nobody, there's no such thing as somebody that doesn't have an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend is not going to tell some shitty story about them or some drunken tweet or some late night sexting that got screen grabbed or a podcast where someone had a couple of drinks and started flapping their gums a little bit. That's impossible. The standard's impossible. It's not really, it's their standard. The notion that, and also context is everything, because if you're having a conversation with someone and someone is laughing and you're laughing and there's a context to it, that's fine. If you're going to read the transcript of it, it's going to sound like a hate crime, you know? And we've somehow decided that the words were now on a par with actions. Like we're getting to a point where if you go out and you throw a Molotov cocktail at a squad car or try to burn down a police precinct, or you're some Antifa guy and you want to just go punch a reporter in the face, yeah, we can kind of deal with that. But if you sent out a tweet and there was something that was anti-Semitic in it, or you called Lizzo fat, then we have no tolerance for that. So we've prioritized ourselves into a corner. We're in a bizarre place where we've decided that words or jokes are as powerful, or actually more powerful, than actual physical actions, which is an insane place to be. It can only be dreamt up by assholes who went to college. This is all college. This is all moving away from the tangible world into the ether of ideas. So when you have people in, like, this country used to be filled with, you know, farmers and carpenters and engineers and builders and, you know, just secretaries, and, you know, people showed up somewhere, did a job.
Still is, I would argue. They're just not on Twitter.
Well, no, here's what I'm saying. You go back 100 years, 86% of Americans had some fucking job where they had to put shit together. Sure. Like, you worked at a train. You worked on trains or something. You know, you were laying track. You were doing stuff. You know.
Go to a place and do a thing.
And they weren't college educated. They were, like, educated on a farm.
Right.
The farm was get up at 5, slop hogs, milk cows, mend fences, fix tractors, make dinner, breakfast, you know, go back out, slaughter something, like, super nuts and bolts. Okay. Now you fast forward to it. What percentage of Americans work in a sort of mechanical putting things together realm versus, I work for an advertising firm and I have ideas. You know what I mean? Like, this, the world, the digital world versus the analog world. There's more and more people graduated from college. College is a place, you don't do manual labor in college. You sit around and think. You have ideas. So now we have the large group of people who went through the college system, and then they go right from there to working somewhere in Silicon Valley or the New York Times or into some sort of digital landscape. When you put people in the ether of the digital, they no longer are able to think mechanically. Mechanical people understand that punching a cop's horse at some Antifa rally is much worse than a tweet that crossed the line. But if you're in the digital world, the tweet represents just as much as the physical world, because you're not in the physical world. The physical world doesn't exist to you, and you look down on the physical world. You drive around, you see those guys doing the road crew work when it's hot outside, and you go, those poor suckers. Look at those suckers. Uneducated suckers. Not college educated. Uneducated. I'm college educated. I have ideas. So all your fucking ideas move into the realm of the digital. In the invisible realm of the digital, a tweet is just as dangerous as a balled up fist in the face.
I would argue that those people think it's more dangerous.
Oh, more
because
dangerous.
It can be
right.
Spread around the world and infect countless people, whereas that's one horse that got punched.
Right. So the guy throws the Molotov cocktail. By the way, they're never outraged at large groups to try to burn down cop precincts in Portland. You ever hear any outrage about that? No, but you send one off-color tweet and now we're fucking outraged. So they have it 100% backwards. They don't have it 73% backwards. They are fucking backwards. That's what they have. So their plan is, forget about anybody who rioted in Portland and tried to burn down a police precinct or municipal judge building or whatever that is, a courthouse. Forget about that. We got to go after the guy who wants to host Jeopardy.
Yeah,
that's
federal
right.
Building is what you're
We got to go
for.
After federal building. We got to go after Matt Damon. We got to go after the guy who used to host The Bachelor. They're 100% wrong. Now, there is a other group that sits back and is scared of these pussies. And that's really where the problem is. There should be large swaths of people telling them to shut the fuck up, not apologizing. They're they're essentially kids that have gotten their way too much and they're on a fucking roll. People need to step up and pipe up. This is what I've been saying for 10 years. I yell it at Dr. Drew all the time. He's come around. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Stop apologizing to them. Stop listening to them. Stop kowtowing to them. Stop bending to them. They're nothing. They barely exist. There's 10 guys. So I was screaming about on my podcast the other day. How many Latino people want to be called Latinx? 0%.
Emmy, you can pipe up here if you want.
I absolutely hate that term.
Okay. Why are we talking about Latinx? Because a handful of fucking white people told us we had to. Is it their fault? No, it is not their fault. They are fucking narcissistic pricks who do not recognize a finish line. It is not their fault. Everybody in the Latino community, Latino, Latinx, Latino, Chicano, everyone fucking pipe up and tell them to shut the fuck up. And the rest of the white people need to tell them to shut the fuck up. Because look no further than Latinx. Somebody invented this word called Latinx 19 months ago. For some reason, it's a thing, except for no Latino wants to be called Latinx, and 3/4 of the white people don't give a fuck either. So how has it got traction? Because we let them get traction. We let them do it because we're scared. Because if you said, I don't want to call anyone Latinx, oh, then you're a racist. So now shut up. And now the five people with the fucking bullhorn get their way. Well, what I'm saying is, people, it's not their fault. They're doing what they would do. What do you fucking think the Taliban does? They do as much as we let them do. Well, look at them. These guys are barbarians. They're beheading women. They're throwing acid in the face of schoolgirls just for reading. They're attacking. Yes, they're doing what they do. It's our job to kill them. It's our job to shut them down. They will keep doing what they keep doing. This is it. This is everything. They will tear down every statue. They will come up with a new name for Latino every 10 minutes. They will start adding letters to the LGBTQ community. They'll add 3 letters. You fuckers, don't go along with it. Don't go along with it. That's what I'm saying. Stop it. It's your fault. You're letting them do it. I've been yelling about this. I've put a fucking trash can over my head and yell into it for 10 fucking years. I'm not doing it. Thankfully, fucking 5 people have woken up and they're starting to knock it off. You know, when you lost Bill Maher, you're losing the mainstream, the core of your constituency. You're losing them now, but you've lost even Bill Maher at this point. Please. Stop going along with this fucking idiocy. And yes, you will be called a racist. They call black people racist who disagree with them. They call Larry Elders and Uncle Tom, Candace Owens a racist. Of course, they'll call everyone. There'll be a middle-aged fucking blue-eyed white chick calling Candace Owens a racist because she doesn't go along with their horse shit. Please, there's no end, people. Just fucking stop going along with it. Just stop it. Stop it. Tell my fucking son every 10 seconds, when you go to school, take your mask off. Make them tell you 3,000 times to put your mask on every day. Every day. Do what Mike August does. Every commercial flight, have them tell you 1,500 times before you take off to put your mask back on. Just fucking do it because these people don't stop. There is no end game for them. Oh, do they love masks? Do they love Latinx? What do they love more, Latinx or mask? You want to know what the answer is? They don't give a fuck about either one of them. They want to tell you what to do. They want to tell you what to do. What? By the way, what happened? Where was your obsession with masks, you know, 2 years ago? You didn't see a guy coring concrete by the side of the road and pull over and go, hey, it's a dust cloud. What about all the Latinx gardeners that are there with their fucking leaf blowers not wearing a mask in your yard? Bitch, did you care about his lungs? Oh, no. Now, all of a sudden, everyone cares. Oh, we care about mass. We care about Latinx. We care about all the letters in LGBTQ. Well, we care about the refugees. We care about everything. You don't care about a fucking shit. You care about telling people what to do. And they will keep going, people, and they will never stop. Is there any indication that they're willing to pump the brakes or stop when it comes to telling you what to do? No.
No.
Okay. So tell them to fuck off. That's it. That's all we can do. Fuck you. We're not doing everything you told us to do. And by the way, historically, are you right? What's correct? What do you know that we don't know? Take COVID. When have you been right? What do you know? Do you know anything? Is there some history of you being right? You're a maniac if you thought the thing escaped from the lab a year ago. Now what? You were a maniac if you were for hydroxychloroquine or any of these therapeutics. Now what? What? What do you know that we don't know? You don't know jack shit. Just like you don't know Latinx isn't a real fucking word. You just scared people because they think it's racist. And by the way, if you don't think it's racist, they use race to control you. And that's why they fucking infuse it into everything. They've somehow figured out a way to take climate change and race and connect it in the last 20 minutes. So there is COVID and race, everything in race, fucking a meatball sub and race. You guys have connected everything. Please, human beings, stop listening to these fucking anarchists. They're miserable. They don't have hobbies. They have nothing on their plate. They're bored as shit, and their new hobby is controlling your ass. Don't let them be successful.
I'm going to dismiss Mark 15 minutes before the show's over from now on. Ugh. For anyone who's interested, if you go look at the waveform of this episode, right when Mark leaves, it gets way bigger because Adam's been yelling for the past 15 minutes.
All right, I'm going to decompress. Perhaps I need better help. Oh,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Depressed, yes. Relationship struggles, yes. Difficulty sleeping, yes. Meeting goals, having difficulty with that, better help. Online professional counselors who listen and help. Better help will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Easy and free to change counselors if needed. Not a crisis line or self-help. Now, it's professional counseling done securely online. Log in anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. No uncomfortable waiting room. The broad range of expertise, which may be available in available in some areas. So many people are using BetterHelp these days. They're recruiting counselors in all 50 states. It's BetterHelp, right, Gary?
That's right. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt. Visit BetterHelp.com/ReasonableDoubt and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional.
All right, well, Dr. Drew and Mark and I and Gary will have a pop tomorrow. And God knows that that's going to work out.
It's going
to be a shit show.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. By the way, I think Mark ate a fucking pot brownie before he did this show today. He's in a mood.
Mark, he's been fired up. We had some words before the mic's heated up, and he's on one.
Well, that dog do hunt. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows coming up all over the nation. Really, no exaggeration. So do that. And go eat at one of Mark's many, many restaurants. I can't, Tenny, of course.
Tenny, the Tapas. The Firehouse downtown, all that stuff. Capri in Southampton.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.